That's a good start. And see. So thanks, Andrew, for organising that. That saves me having to go through all of the promises that are revealed in those chapters. So this morning, well, I know that for the past number of weeks we've been talking about passages within the Book of Revelation. I'm doing things slightly different this morning in that I wasn't given a specific passage to speak on, which initially did really fill me with dread because it's very intimidating to know where to go with that. But for me, the past few weeks when I've been preparing this, I've come through a real journey, and I want to speak about Revelation as a whole and God's intention with revealing things to us and speaking to us in a timely manner. So, yes, in this journey, it's really given me the opportunity to test what I believe and what I know to be true of God, and it's been a real revelation for me. So, if no one else here is encouraged or challenged by what I'm about to say, I can definitely tell you that I have been, so that's been really encouraging for me. So, I just wanted to briefly just explain what a revelation is, and I'm sorry if some of this has already been repeated, but I just wanted to go back to basics a little bit and just talk about what a revelation is. So, a revelation is something that is revealed or disclosed that was once not realised or was hidden. I'm talking of a God revelation. We're speaking about something that God then reveals about himself or his will for the earth. I believe that God is the keeper of all things. He has ultimate knowledge of everything, but he chooses to reveal things to us. He has this desire to reveal himself to us. And he reveals things to people who earnestly seek him. He reveals things in his perfect timing and as a response to our need, but more importantly, because he wants to have a relationship with us. In Deuteronomy 29, it says, things that are revealed belong to us. What is now being revealed cannot be taken away. So when God reveals something to you, it's permanent. So there's a permanency to it. And these are unchanging truths that can never be taken away from you. Revelations also cause a response or a change. So God doesn't want us to simply know things. He wants us to act upon it. And it's for it to significantly change our life where we're at now. And God will provide you with wisdom and insight into how to apply this knowledge. So I just want to give a brief overview of four key things that are revealed in Revelation. The purpose of the book, as you can tell from the title, is the unveiling of the purpose and the plan and the identity of Jesus Christ. Of course, Jesus is revealed throughout the entire Bible, but we see Jesus in a different way in the book of Revelation. It's a new revelation to us. God also deals with particular sins, as we see from the seven churches. God encourages them, but he also motivates us and encourages us to change in a way to live a holy life. We learn more about God's final conquest, where we see God's power and justice. We see him setting up his kingdom with his plan and purpose fulfilled. Joshua, do you want to go up the slide there for me? Okay, so I've just identified 13 key themes, which sounds like a lot, but I'm literally only going to say one or two sentences about it, because I think we're into the afternoon time now anyway, so I won't be long. So some of these are revelations that God has given to me personally, and I want to just explore a little bit, and some of them can be found obviously then within the Bible and things that we know to be true about God. So the first point here is who is Christ. So the book of Revelation obviously reveals who he is, and we see that he is God. We know that if we want to have an accurate picture of who God is, we just have to look to Jesus Christ. And isn't it incredible that he reveals himself so openly to us that we have access to this? It says, if anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. That's John 14:9. Throughout the Bible, and Revelations in particular, it mentions numerous attributes about him. For example, in verse 5, he's a faithful witness, and he's a ruler of kings on earth. In verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Verse 17, I am the first and the last. So the second point is, and Dad touched on this last week, is that the letters within chapters 2 and 3 really reveal something specifically about God's heart and God's heart for the church. He intimately knew the challenges that each church was facing, and he comments on how they were responding to these. So we see that God commends them, he gives them encouragement, he also rebukes them and gives them a solution. It's the same for us as well. God will reveal what we need in specific times, specific seasons, and he gives us a tool of how to do this. He also gives, as Andrew's gone through, the promise for conquerors. For example, we will die with Christ, we will eat from the tree of life. It also ends each letter with, "He who has an ear, let him hear." This is a plea from God. He's not just challenging us, but he requires change and a call to action from us. So we can see that the book of Revelation is also a practical tool on how to do this. In chapter 4, we see the throne in heaven. We see that he is holy and worthy of praise. There's a beautiful image of the elders and the living creatures falling to the ground, bowing down to him in worship. And this called me to really evaluate my response to God when he reveals things to me. When I learn more about him, what do I do with that? Is my life, am I living a lifestyle of worship that is worthy for him? The next point is an invitation to believers. So just want to refer to the Church of Laodicea, which is known as the lukewarm church. So Revelation 3 verse 20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him, and he with me." And when I read that, I was sure that I heard that somewhere else in the Bible. But of course, I didn't know exactly where, so I Googled it, of course, and it led me to Matthew 7, verse 7, where he speaks about opening the door to salvation. So why is this similar verse repeated again in Revelation? There's a different context for it, because here God is speaking, in Revelation, God is speaking to the already believing. He's speaking to the believers. And he's saying that, "I'm no longer in your church, I'm no longer present, but I am outside. I'm at the door, knocking, waiting for you to open the door." So we can see in this church that God was no longer involved, that God had been pushed outside, and he no longer was dwelling with them. But that was their choice. And as if Jesus was saying, "You're literally having church without me, you're not involving me in anything." So this verse, to me, it speaks of hope that Jesus is there, but it also, it's very sobering as we begin to realise, you know, it makes us think, is God really involved in my daily life? Am I letting him have reign over my life and in every situation that I'm in? The next point is about relationship and friendship. And if we want to have revelation from God, I think that firstly we have to have this friendship and this relationship with him. God reveals himself to those who seek him. It says in 1 Chronicles 28 verse 9, "If you seek him, he will be found by you." So God desires people who earnestly seek him. And this reminded me of the parables that Jesus used throughout the Gospels. Parables are not used as merely an illustration, but they conceal truth, so as God can see who's really hungry to learn more and to have more revealed. Mm-hmm. So God desires relationship, fellowship, and friendship. Mm-hmm. In John 15, verse 15, it says, "No longer do I call you slaves, but I have called you friends." And for some, that can be a revelation. For some, God is friendship. God is companionship for them as well. And sometimes God, he reveals himself in the way that we need him. So for some, God is revealed as the Father. So let him be the Father that you need him to be. Sorry, I'm really flying through these because we're at the time, but we're getting there. So when God reveals something to you, there's always a change or a reaction. So in Revelation 1 verse 17, we see that John had such a revelation or reverence for his new vision of Christ that he could not do nothing but fall to the floor as if dead. So this made me question, when God reveals something to us about his love, his character, his plan for us, how do we respond? Do we respond with this sense of reverence and respect? Do we move into action? Do we fall before the throne? Every revelation that God gives you is significant. Another thing that I sort of mentioned throughout the chapters in Revelation was there's a lot of things repeated. And we as humans, we need things repeated because sometimes we just don't get it straight away. So repeat, repeat, repeat. So in chapter 1:8, Jesus says, I'm Alpha and Omega, was and is to come the Almighty. This is repeated again at the end of Revelation in 22. So here we know there's something really important and God is trying to reveal something meaningful about his character. Even at the end of each letter to the church, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Maybe God is giving you a revelation over and over again because you just haven't got it. And maybe he's reminding you of a promise that you've forgotten, or he's reminding you of things that once were but no longer are. And this is the same throughout scriptures. God often repeats his promises to his people because we just don't get it or we don't accept it. Mm-hmm. He says, I will be your God and you will be my people. So God's repeating himself to you. It's for your benefit and it's something that you need to pay attention to. Okay, some knowledge is out there. I just wanted us to think about the fact that there's a lot of misconceptions about God, especially if we look at what's going on in the world now. People are saying, where is God? Why is he not stepping in these situations? But I just want to remind us that God doesn't hide or deceive us. It's not in his nature. He is wise and he knows when some knowledge is too heavy for us. We have so many questions, but I'm glad that I don't know the answers to these questions, but I'm very glad that he does. And he's actually acting in our best interests by carrying these heavy burdens for us. So, and he will reveal things to us as we need to know them. So God is out there, his knowledge is out there, and we can ask for wisdom and insight and knowledge to know these things. But ultimately he knows what we can handle and he knows what's good for us. So let's not worry about what we don't know, but let's be confident in what we do know. And whatever else the rest means, at least we know that God is the conqueror in the end of the day. So when we get this revelation, it gives us like a life-shaping confidence in a book where in a world where there's some uncertainty. And the next point then is divine revelation. So Jesus is not known to us through human understanding, but through his divine revelation. Reminds me of in Matthew 16, when Jesus asks the disciples, who do you say I am? And Peter replies, you are the Christ. So God reveals things to us. It's not by our own strength. It's not something that we can do, but through his divine revelation. For me, the next point is quite powerful. It's about intimacy. So what I find is that intimacy with God is the cure for all insecurity. Without knowing him, you can't really know yourself. Or having a wrong knowledge of him will lead to an inaccurate knowledge about yourself.
That's good.
God reveals more about him. He reveals more about your own identity. He makes things known to us that are life-changing. He gives us our identity and confidence in ourselves and our hope for the future. Revelation of the Word is the next one. Revelation of the Word. So it needs to be functional and operational in your life. It's different than just knowing facts about God, but or knowing scriptures off by heart, which is it's good to do, but it's something that actually imparts trust and knowledge and wisdom into your life. You know, are you applying scriptures into your life? How have they impacted you? And I think for me, I really need to have an increase in my reverence for scripture and value But it is a source of revelation, and it's directly from God. We need to change our perception of the Word of God. It's not just a little book, but it is God speaking to us and revealing things to us. Briefly, I just want to mention about God's perfect timing. As I've mentioned before, He's the keeper of all things, and I believe that He works in the secret place, behind the scenes, but He does reveal His works to us. So we just need to let Him be in control and trust in this. Again, have confidence and security, regardless of your feelings or frustrations. John Piper has a little quote that I really like. Abiding in Jesus is trusting that He really is loving at every moment, and that everything He has revealed about Himself and our future is true. Again, in today's world, some people just feel that God just doesn't speak, or God doesn't care, or that He's given up. But we see throughout history that God has always wanted to reveal Himself, but He still does. He created us in His image, and He wants to relate to us in a special way. So obviously He's going to tell us about who He is and what He expects from us. People who don't really know the true nature of God believe that He's completely unknowable. But we see clearly that He is revealed, and there's a number of ways in which He does this. Through creation, history, the Bible, and Christ Himself. And I'm not going to go into each of those. But there are some ways that I wanted to mention of how God reveals Himself and how He reveals Himself to me. One of these ways is through His Word. As I mentioned, His Bible, it's a literal word that's inspired from Him, and He will use it to reveal Himself to us. We have direct access to God as well, and He can speak to our spirits to reveal things too. We've got the gift of the Holy Spirit, who can prompt and guide us. We also have communication with others who have received the Spirit, and with words of prophecy, encouragement, and exhortation. We see through the Bible and even now that God gives dreams and visions. God is creative, and He can use any mode of revealing Himself to us. So how can we receive more revelation? I don't claim to be an expert in this, so I'm sure there's a lot more other ways that God will reveal Himself, but for me, I think sometimes we just need to drop any preconceived concepts that we have about Him, about God. Like, what do you believe God to be capable of? Are we putting Him into a box of how we'd like Him to speak to us? And are we making Him fit our own agenda rather than have Him direct and give us plans? So we need to be open to hearing from Him. In Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." Yeah. And to be honest, this is a verse I think that I've construed in my own way. I don't think it's speaking about that God is going to give us what He wants. What it means is He reveals Himself to you, and when you're seeking Him, He shifts your heart, and He will place His desires into your life, and this He will change what He needs to change. We need to be able to really tune in to hear from Him. It says in John 10, verse 3 to 5, the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. It's not that they can hear His voice, or that they should hear His voice, but that they do hear His voice. It's what they were designed for. And sometimes we are guilty of not recognizing God's voice, so be ready to listen. Be still and know that He is God, and He speaks to you in that small, still small voice. For some of us who perhaps feel we haven't had a revelation, a recent revelation, perhaps we need to turn our hearts back to Him. In Corinthians 3, verse 14 to 15, it says, "Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed." Obey what you know. A willingness to obey God attracts revelation, and God is willing to invest and reveal things to you once He knows that you are invested. He rewards those who are faithful to Him. The last point here is read and pray. Obviously. go back to direct communication with him and through reading his Bible. Paul had prayed for Ephesus to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And this is something that we can ask for as well. If you desire more of a revelation from him, you can come directly before him and ask for these things. For the not yet believers, we can be asking that the Spirit of God will be revealed to them. Okay. Conclusion. So we're near the end. But really the point of this short sermon was just that I really wanted us to realise that the book of Revelation is extremely relevant and important to us now. It's not some make-believe book that affects generations to come, but it impacts us now. We see that what began in Genesis has its conclusion in Revelation. So sin, creation, redemption, everything comes full circle and it's complete in Revelation. So we need to remember that God is not missing or hard to find, but the truth is that he is ever present and always speaking. So it is us who needs to adjust our preconceptions of this and be open to hear from him. Our perceptions of this and be open to hear from him. This book comes with a promise to those who read, hear and take action and be encouraged in that. More revelation will come to you if you desire it, if you seek him. And in line with his perfect timing, he will choose to reveal things to us in the right season. God always meets us where we are, as he knows us intimately and he knows what we need. Each one of us can have an up-to-date testimony of his revelation in our life. There's no limit to what you can know about God. I just wanted to leave you with this little thought. As mentioned already in Matthew 16, verse 15, Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do the people say I am?" And Peter replies, "You are the Christ." Jesus replies to this, "And blessed are you, for this was not revealed to you by flesh, but my Father in heaven." So I just want us to be challenged and to think about, who is Jesus Christ in my life? What has he revealed to me? What would I like him to reveal more of? It's an ongoing journey, but it's something that is really significant for your salvation and for your growth as a Christian. And I would just encourage you just to press into him, and if there's specific areas in your life where you need a fresh revelation, then I would encourage you to pray about that. So what has he revealed in your life, and what impact?